So today our scriptures is Philippians 3, 10 and 11, but we're going to read a little bit of 7, but 8 to 12, but the concentration on 10 and 11. And as you can see, having a desire for Christ, this is written to believers, it's after you've accepted Christ into your life, and it is what we are to do after that. It always amazes me how God works, because as I was reading this over the last few months, and one thing kept popping through my head. Paul said it in our marriage Bible study back there, multiple sermons lately too, that we need to decrease and he needs to increase in our life. And as we go further down through the message, he was going to... Can't say that word again. Conflicting me? That's your goal. Even in certain areas, not all the time, but in certain areas, you're having a bad day or whatever. Okay, I know he's there, but I kind of put him off the side, take him for granted. So as we go through the service or the sermon today, we see what he's asking of us. As we talk through the body of the sermon, we see that our own salvation story, we have our own testimonies, but after receiving him, we have a personal race that we have to run. Every one of our races is different, but he's asking us to run that race. We need to be in the scriptures constantly and pursuing him. An object lesson that my dad taught in a sermon way back was just like a calf. When we first accept the Lord, when they're first born, they're on milk, they're bottle-fed, they're moms. But as they grow, they need the hay, the grain. They need the hay and the water and the grain and everything to grow, as do we need with the scriptures. Also spending quiet time with him and praying and being away from everybody in corporate, that each one of us has our own personal race that we need to do, and we need to spend time with him. One of the object lessons, too, that I found when I was reading is that people sometimes treat their relationship with God like a new shirt. We wear it all the time, we show it off, but eventually it gets put in the closet and we forget about it, and it only comes out on days where special occasions or what have us. And we need to, and forgotten, but we need to run our own race, and we need to... But the process and the... let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would be with me today. Father, I thank you for what you taught me through this sermon. Father, thank you for what you've taught me and that through just the things from Paul's sermon, the Bible studies, and just the day-to-day life that we go through. Father, I thank you for what the hymns that were picked today. You are an awesome God, that you are there with us, you don't leave us, you're just asking us to run the race and to seek your face. Father, I thank you that it's so appropriate for Bridget and Josh to give their testimony, to even hear the race that you have put them through. Father, we ask that you would go with us now, that you would calm my nerves and help me to get my scattered thoughts out, that you would be able to use these thoughts and the scriptures that you've shown me in our lives going out today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we are looking at Romans 3, 8 to 12, but we're going to focus on 10 and 11. Paul's main goal in this letter to the Philippians is to know Christ. Some have said that it's two of the most important verses in all of the New Testament. In today's text, we are shown that we need to earnestly seek after God and know him intimately. Our main personal goal in the life of a Christian is to pursue an intimate relationship with Christ and be like him. It is not our knowledge, training in theology, etc., but it is a personal goal, personal growing relationship with Jesus Christ. To fully understand the context behind this letter, we need to understand where Paul was writing it from. Paul was writing it from prison. At the time Paul was writing this in prison, he was using his own life as an example in this letter. But even in prison, he has a deep desire and a joy to know Christ. He did not want to know of God, but he wanted to know him personally or intimately. Christianity is not a religion, but it's a growing relationship. The only religions, if you let me use that word, that a true living Christ that we need to go to daily and talk with, spend time with, and that our relationship with him can grow. So let's read our scriptures for today. More than I can count, more than that, I count all things to be a loss in the view of surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them to be rubbish so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. And verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and that the fellowship of sufferings being confirmed to his death, in order that I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I may have already attained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold for which also I lay hold of by Christ Jesus. In verse 8 and 10, we read that Paul, wanted more of Christ for himself. And in Psalm 73, they're sticking together here. Sorry. It's a little more nerve-wracking than I remembered. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. In the Greek word here is, sorry, Paul, gnosko, yeah, that one. The meaning of that word is to know intimately, to know through personal experience or to know through a relationship. And often translated as a full knowledge, a precise knowledge, or a deep, intimate knowledge. It requires an active, intimate relationship between God and his people. It is described a knowledge that goes beyond initial faith to a deep, transformative understanding of Christ and divine truth. Getting to know Christ should be like breathing air. It should be your only concern. It is like needing a fix on a drug that's your next thing. One commentator said, Pastor Hibbs said that if you're concentrating on something, what is your first thought when you come out of that concentration? And Christ needs to be our first thought when we come out. The first breath we take, and that we need every day to renew that relationship with him. Another way our relationship with Christ has been described is that it's similar to the intimacy that we have between a husband and a wife. Each one of us has a different conversion experience. We start off knowing about God and what he has done for us, who he claims to be, the eternal God. We understand that we cannot save ourselves on our own merit. We have a personal meeting with him and through faith become saved. But it does not stop there. As mentioned, Christianity is not a religion, but a relationship with God. We know that God, through scripture, prayer, and spending quiet time with him, Christ reveals himself through his written word. A story that has been on my mind since we started reading this thing was Doc Sims taught once at camp for us, was that when he was getting to know his wife and there was distance between them, he wrote love letters to her, that spending time with her and writing love letters and being able to get to know through there. Well, Christ has wrote us the love letter here, and we need to be in it to get him to know us, or know him more intimately. We can't stop after we've accepted him. Paul's personal journey is what's been in here. This is a personal journey between you and God. It is an active and transforming. Our life and our values become more in line and change as we come more in line with him. In verses 10 and 11, we see three major areas that we can grow and pursue Christ in our relationship with him. The first is growing in Christian maturity. These are growing in Christian maturity. And the first is the power of his resurrection. God's power is transforming and life-changing. It gives us the strength to live with purpose. The Greek word to describe Christ's power is, dunamis, meaning power, strength, or might, and some have compared it to dynamite. It is shown in Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1:18-20. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance to the working of his strength, of his might, which he brought about in Christ, when he was raised him from the dead and seated him to the right hand of the heavenly places. Jesus died on the cross for us and he took our sins away. He's powerful. He's paid the whole payment for us, which we also see in Acts 2:24. But God raised him again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Also in Romans 8:11. But the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you to your immortal bodies through the Spirit and dwells in you. And in a very well-known verse in John 11:25-26, everyone who believes in Christ will die physically, but will live spiritually and eternally with Christ. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And also found in 1 Corinthians 15:20-22, as believers we have resurrections with Christ. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, but a man also came the resurrection of the dead. We will see God's wonderful transformed work in our lives, and when we have Christ's resurrection power at the center of our lives. We can see how his resurrection power as Christ has installed his power in us, and he has defeated the devil. We're running a race that's already been run, but he's asking us to run our personal race, the one that he has put out before us. The second that you can see in verse 10 is the fellowship of his sufferings. A Christian life is energized by the power of the resurrection, and it doesn't mean that we have an easy life, but we will have a victorious life. We are connected to Christ that gives us power, joy, and hope to walk through our lives with purpose. As we read in Romans 8:29, that we are to be conformed to his image. For those whom he foreknew, he has predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among the brethren. A great passage about the fellowship of his sufferings is found in 2 Corinthians 4, 7-12. The key notes to take from this scripture is that the gospel of Jesus Christ lives within us, and that we will be persecuted for the sake of Jesus, that through his power of Christ, we might have life through those sufferings, that we could become closer to his image and to him. But we have a treasure in earthly vessels, so that the suffering, surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about the body, the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For he who live are For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Christ, life of Jesus, also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. As we go through life or running our race, we need to be prepared for the joys and trials we face. Christ stated in Matthew 16:24 that as believers, we are to be put down our own ways, and we are to take up our cross and to follow him. Paul does not regret anything that he did in God's name that put him in jail or anything throughout his life. How we live our lives reflects our faith. Being in line with Christ and living our lives for him brings us to a deeper relationship. We align ourselves with Christ and his pursuit and walk through the trials. It will deepen our understanding of what he has done for us and to bring us closer to him and as we are conformed into his image. In 1 Peter 4, 13-14, we read, "But to the degree that you share in the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory that you will be rejoices with exaltation. If you are revealed for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory of the God rests in you." In Matthew 28:20, Christ promises us that he will never leave us. teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. The third item that we see in verse 10 is that to be conformed to his death. Christ's resurrection power will give us power through the Holy Spirit living within us. We read it in Romans 8:11. We also see it in John 16:33. These things I've spoken to you, so that in me you will have peace in the world. These things I've spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Again, we're living a victorious life. We just have to run the race that Christ has put in front of us. Paul addresses the transforming power of Christ's resurrection in Romans 6, 3 and 4. Or do I not know do you not know all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus and have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through the baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of his Father, that we too might walk through the newness of life. It shows Christ's victory over death, and the believer can be brought into a new life with him. We can be even displayed through baptism. In Galatians 2:20, we read that I have been crucified in Christ, meaning the death to my sinful life, and that we are free to experience Christ's resurrection power through faith. We also read in Luke 9:23 that we need to take up our cross daily and follow him. As mentioned, we need to daily surrender to Christ, laying down or putting down the death of the sinful man and being daily renewed. In Colossians 3:1-4, we read that, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated in the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, when you also will be revealed with him in glory. This is an ongoing process. We are alive in Christ. And in Philippians 3, further down, we read in verse 20 and 21, for the citizenship is in heaven, from which we are eagerly await for Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom will transform our body from a humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he will even subject all things to himself. We need to die to self and to live for God. The next one we see in the beginning of verse 11 is to attain resurrection. We need to have a strong desire to see his face. Paul took up his cross daily and followed Christ and experienced spiritual resurrection. Paul's referring to the out resurrection that is reserved for faithful followers. Paul's great desires to know God, share in his sufferings, and be conformed to the image of God, that he might be experienced this resurrection. We see also in verse 12 that Paul hasn't attained it. He's not arrived. He's still running the race. That he is running to see the face of God and continue to seek God's will. No one has attained it. No one on earth ever will or has. And that's why we need to run the race. Like Paul, someone that was that close to God, had to continue daily, pick up his cross and run. That his joy in the trials, the tribulations he got, even in prison, and the men that he was discipling, sending them out, still had to run the race and to go forward and try to seek God's face daily. Joel. So in conclusion, our goal is the growing intimate relationship with Christ and to be like him. We are called to run a deep, intimate race to seek the face of God. We need to ask ourselves and again, it conflicted me over the last while as I was reading this, that we need to be called to run a deep, personal, intimate race to seek the face of God. We need to ask ourselves if we have an intimate desire, or are we treating our relationship with God as we did with the shirt? Are we picking up the word and reading the word and getting to know Christ deeper every day? And is he our first thought every morning, our first thought when we go to bed? Is it a desire like between your husband and wife, that we seek to see God's face daily, especially in the world that we are living in now, that God is going to put trials and tribulations in our way, that he's going to walk through us, that he's not there, there's no temptations that he can't, that we can't get through, that he's already won the, won the race, but he's just asking us to not just put down our salvation and go about our lives, pick up the cross and to run with it as hard as we can towards him. And I think it's ironic again that Josh and Bridget are doing their testimony right after this, that we get to hear the race that they took up after accepting him. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the chance to speak. I thank you for the men that I can learn from and grow. And Father, that you've reminded me to take up my cross daily, even on hard days, to before I leave the house, to spend time with you, to renew the spirit and understand that you've won the battle already. And then when we go out into the public, no matter what comes our way, whatever bruises or stuff that we come back with, that we need to do it in your honor, with your face, that seeking your face, Father. Father, we ask that you would bless Josh and Bridget as they come and show the race or the journey that you've put them on to this point. Father, that you would be with them and that with their health and their voice, that as they speak, that you could touch people in this community through the testimony that they will give now. Father, I thank you for helping me through my scattered notes. And Father, we just thank you for who you are and that you are here with us daily and that you've won and that we run the race side by side with you. Father, we ask that you would bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.